way before Jesus was born. Our Old Testament text takes place. And yet it's tied to Jesus being born. And the people didn't see the connection right away. Part of it is they didn't want to. They didn't know what all of this would mean. It's sort of like if your family said, we're going on a trip. You say, where we're going? Well, we're going to go over here. We're going to go to the Badlands up in the Dakotas. Never heard of them. Right? And then you go, well, what's there? You just wait and see. And so we're grumpy all the journey until we get there. And when we get there, wow, we're amazed. This lesson takes place in history. If history wasn't your subject, you may play a mental game for about 2 minutes and then tune back in, okay? And around the year 740, this is BC, okay? 740 years before Christ was born, the prophet Isaiah is given a call to be the Lord's servant, the messenger. And yet, this chapter takes in all the years between 740 and the year 539. It's condensed history. It's like Reader's Digest history, where you don't read all the names and all the places and all the battles and all the detail. Just give me the big points. And that's what this one does. The first two verses are like a capsule of the rest of Isaiah. Two verses. What is taking place is, and this isn't the first time it's recorded in scriptures, it's like the heavenly council has a meeting. And the prophet Isaiah, who is called to be the servant of the Lord, in the messenger of the Lord, is like able to listen in. He doesn't see everything at this point, but he's able to listen in. And God is telling the seraphim and the angels and the archangels that this is what is to happen. It's not a voters meeting. There's no vote taken because this is not, you know, a meeting of ideas. God has a plan. And the plan comes with an imperative. You know, an imperative is a command word. It's not try to comfort. It's not maybe you'll comfort. It is comfort, comfort my people. It is a command of God. And like we indicated when Jesus was around on earth, right? He did a lot of commands. Be healed, and people were healed. Be still, and the storm stopped. God's imperatives are not like yours and mine, where we hope it happens. Where, as a parent, I told my girls to be quiet. Well, I wish I had God's imperative. My parents probably wish they had God's imperative. How many times have you ever commanded something and it didn't happen? And that's part of our dilemma. In our world, our commands don't work. And what we begin to do, just like the people of Israel did, is they think when God commands something, maybe it will work and maybe it won't. And so the prophet is listening in, and the plan is to comfort. Now, the fact that this plan of comfort takes place over hundreds of years at times led the people to think God will not comfort. From the year 740 BC, okay, you have the Assyrians come in 722 and they conquer the 10 tribes in the north. That area was called Israel. And they just wipe them out. Then, in history, the city of Nineveh is destroyed. Now, Nineveh is north of Judea, okay? And it was a strong city, and it's wiped out in 612. The king Manasseh, he's a crooked king, a wicked king, an awful king. And he helps in Judah for the nation to decline spiritually, morally, and military-wise. He did not stay strong in the Lord. And the two tribes, that is, in Judah, they end up being captured eventually. As the nation declines, King Josiah dies in battle in 609. The Babylonians rise to power. You remember the name of Nebuchadnezzar, right? Daniel in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar. Well, Nebuchadnezzar's father was Nabopolassar. And so Nebuchadnezzar II continues what his father starts with the rise of the Babylonians, and then they come over the Fertile Crescent, and they take over that whole area around Jerusalem. And eventually, they capture the city. And all of this happened because God told the people that they could not remain a stiff-necked, rebellious people without being accountable. And so the people of Israel were taken captive back to Babylon. And in that captivity, they started to call out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord, and the Bible says, and the Lord heard their cries. And Isaiah is given the mission to tell the people that God comforts you, although you may not realize it until the captivity, when God will restore you. Because after the Babylonians, and they're like a blip in history, even with all their advances, with King Nebuchadnezzar's gardens and all of that they did, they're still not much for a blip, just a blink of an eye on the history timeline. Because the Persians, Prussia, comes down. And Cyrus is king and ruler. And they conquer the Babylonians. And Cyrus sends Israel back to their home city. And they are restored. And the message of God's word to the heavenly council is that he will show mercy on them. For he has a plan for them. And no matter how bad it looks, hold on to the promise of that comfort. Hold on to the promise that gives comfort. For God isn't saying, well, I hope you get out of this. God is telling them, you will survive this and you will do more than that. For you will be restored as a nation, a people of God. And so the rest of the Old Testament history unfolds. And if you got some of the other prophets, the minor prophets, who write about this time. And then you come to a time of 400 years. And for those 100 years, 400, there was no prophet of the Lord speaking. And then you have Christ is born. And John the Baptist picks up that refrain again. Comfort, comfort my people. Prepare the way of the Lord. And so what are we supposed to get out of this? We're not in the Holy Lands. We don't live in that region of the country. But the message that God spoke in the heavenly council is the message that he speaks to you and I today. That his imperative is still the power that acts. That in amongst all the road rage, the terrorism, the political chaos, everything that you consider awful, all right? And you might have your list, and it could be different. But into the chaos of our life, and sometimes the chaos is in our heart. It's called our doubt and our fear and our frustrations and all that goes on inside of us. Into that comes this command, comfort. And that command brings our hope. For the power of the gospel is like my winter coat to those who are cold. For the gospel embraces us, and it warms us from the inside out with the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. This is not simply history. It is God in history. And the God of history, the God of the past, is the God of today. And our God, the Lord our God, Yahweh, Jehovah, Adonai, Elohim, all the names of God that apply to the one true God, this God says, I will and I do, I comfort you. And so when we grieve, the promise of the resurrection comes, and it embraces our tender, broken heart. And when we're fearful, when there's words like cancer and this and that, all the words that make us, you know, upset and frightened, into our world, into our day, into our life, comes the power of God. And it reminds us that even though at times we may feel like this is our own prison, or we're held captive by the powers that be, and we can't just seem to live in peace together, but there's always conflict, into this world, just as in the day of the prophet, comes God's word, comfort. And into our chaos of sin comes the debt payment. It will be paid double. And we know that in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus die for you? Yeah. Are your sins forgiven? Yes. Are you not free in Christ from that debt? Yes. That's the greatest comfort of all. And so into our life of fear, frustration, emptiness, perplexity, looking for meaning, looking for hope, into our life, just as in the day of Israel, God says, I give you comfort. And at the time of creation, remember what happened when God said, let there be light? There was light. And let the lands and the waters and all that be divided, and it was. And this is the same God who says to you, let there be comfort. Amen.